Well, good morning, my dear friends. We are gathered here once again in our Father's house to just spend some time with Him. I think so often we have so many things that we have to do. We're so busy. I mean, school's about to start for the people who still have kids, and the summer's coming to an end. Everything's transitioning over back into a regular year. It is a very busy time. And then in addition to that, we have all the interesting news that keeps coming out all the time. There's just a lot to think about and a lot in our heads and a lot that distracts us in this world. And right now, we get to be with God. We just get to come here, set everything else aside, spend our time here on the one most important thing, our relationship with our God, that relationship that He earned for us, that relationship that He draws us into, that relationship that will sustain us through this life, and that relationship that will never end. And so let us now turn our hearts toward Him. And as we do, let us remember our baptism, the day that we were brought into this relationship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your house. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit that works inside of us and teaches us and helps us to understand and teaches us to believe. Lord, I pray that You would continue to work in us, that Your miracle would not end, that You would continue to draw us ever closer to You, so that in You we may have peace no matter what else happens. Thank You, Lord, for this. In Your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sin. Let us take all these things that we have done, these things that that challenge our conscience, that tear at us and make us doubt that if God could still love us sometimes, and that we would lay these at His feet and receive His promised forgiveness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before You of all sins. I have lived as if You did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let Your love have its way with me, and so my love for others have failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise to this God who has so graciously forgiven us.
Each month we feature a new hymn. This month our hymn is Just As I Am, not new, but... Charlotte Elliott, a Victorian hymn writer, was born in the South London district of Clapham in 1789 and died in Brighton, England in 1871. Her family, who belonged to the evangelical wing of the Anglican Church, taught her Christian piety. Elliott was a famous humorous poet during her youth. At the age of 32, she suffered from a serious illness that left her disabled for the rest of her life. Then her lifelong spiritual mentor, César Millán, a Swiss minister and hymnologist, counseled her to replace her rage and inner conflict with peace and simple faith in God. From that day on, she turned her literary talents to writing hymns. Although sometimes depressed by her condition, she always felt renewed by the assurance of salvation, and she responded to her Savior in hymns. She wrote about 150 hymns. Her most famous, Just As I Am, is widely used in English and North American hymnals today.
Just as I am with God one plea, but that be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. Today's first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended by one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah then warned about things yet not seen, and holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heirs to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go out to the place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him on the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Steve. Sermon text for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And now it is time for the children's message. So children, you can come on forward now. And I think Brian has the message for you today.
Come on down, children. I did not bring lunch for all of us. These are lunch bags, in fact, but that's not what's in them. We are going to play a little bit of a game, though. So, I'm going to set all three of them down. And it's going to be a game of guess if I'm telling the truth or not. So, in this first bag, we're going to start pretty easy. I have a battery. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sawyer says yeah, maybe. Why so skeptical?
Because it's so thick.
Yeah.
Also, give me on your mic.
All right, anybody else? Do you think that I'm telling the truth? Is it a battery?
Don't know.
Yay!
Okay, it's a battery. Mm-hmm. I told the truth. Are you starting to get some faith in me that I'm telling the truth? Gavin's saying yes. My own kids are saying no. I don't know what that means.
Sort of.
All right, next. This one's going to be a little bit tougher to see. In this one, I have a football player. Do you think I could possibly put a football player in this bag?
Yes, maybe bottlehead.
Sawyer knows what it is. It's one of my favorite possessions that I have. It's a football player. It is a bobblehead. And it's something that always sits on my desk. A family gave it to me who I worked for when I was in college, and they knew I was a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they went antique shopping every weekend, so they found this for me. So, okay, have I told the truth so far?
Yeah.
Well, what about now? Are you starting to get some faith that I'm telling the truth?
Yes.
Maybe just a little? All right, this one, let's see. I have the most important thing in the whole wide world
Bible.
In the...
Bible.
Well, how...
I saw you have it.
I did have it.
I saw you.
And what is it?
A Bible.
It's a Bible. Why is this the most important thing?
Because.
Well, that's kind of a tricky question, isn't it?
Well, because it tells how God has, we have faith in God.
That's right. It gives us faith. And we read a chapter of the Bible this morning, Hebrews 11. It's called the faith chapter. It talks about some other people who had faith. And in the second reading, even, we heard the word faith. So the good news is, let's keep it there. The good news is we have the definition of faith in the first sentence. We'll put it up here so everybody can look at it. Okay. We'll keep him safe right there. So we have the definition of faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Jesus is talking to a man and he says something really interesting. He says, I have faith, help me with my unbelief. So in a perfect world, we just have faith in Jesus, right? Well, sin did enter the world. And so because of sin, we are in this constant battle between sin and God's righteousness, what he wants us to do. So we have another word here that I'm going to teach you guys. It's the word grace. And Pastor Bob actually taught me a long time ago what grace stands for, an easy thing to remember. So this is your job this morning. We're going to remember what grace stands for. The G is God's. Everybody say God's.
God.
Riches.
Riches.
At.
At.
Christ's.
Christ.
Expense. Now, some of those words are pretty big, but what we need to know.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
That's right. God's riches at Christ's expense. And the first letter of each word spells grace. So it is by grace through faith that we are saved from our sins. And what is that faith in?
God.
Jesus dying on the cross and rising again to forgive our sins. And how do we learn about that? The most important thing in the world, right?
The Bible.
It's the most important thing in the world because hearing from this word is what gives us faith and allows us to have grace. So I'm going to read one more Bible verse before we pray. So let's see. I even marked it here. Romans 10:17. Does anybody know that one already? That's a really important one. This is a good one to memorize. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is the word of God, and that's why it's the most important thing. It gives us faith because sometimes, like Thomas, we doubt. But Jesus told, well, he gets a bad rap for doubting, but we all are like Thomas sometimes.
Yeah.
Jesus says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus,
thank you for your word
and the faith that it gives us so that we can receive your grace. Amen. Okay, and at this time, four-year-olds through fourth graders can go with Mrs. Landgraf, where she has the cross at the back of the room, and you can go to little worship, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Bob for the message today.
All right, my friends. Well, you've already heard the reading, so I guess I'm done with that part. Here, let's just talk about the message then. Both readings today are really, really, really deep in the whole concept of don't worry, right? And my message for today was something like, my theme for today was something like, don't worry, just be faithful, right? Which is extremely unhelpful, right? Remember the old song, don't worry, be happy? Yeah, so helpful, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, you have real issues in your life, real problems. Things are really going wrong. I really don't know how I'm going to fix all this stuff. Things are really stressful right now. And you just say, be happy? Thanks. Appreciate that. And God knows that this is going to be a little bit difficult. He knows that worry, stress, anxiety is a major problem in our lives. He knows it. My wife, she's a therapist, right? And so she gets therapist junk mail. Everybody gets junk mail. She gets therapist junk mail, and her therapist junk mail is a whole bunch of these little advertisements for different seminars on things that people are struggling with at the current time, right? Yesterday, she got two, both of them helping people deal with anxiety. We get at least one a week about anxiety. I think we can safely say anxiety is a major problem in the world today. Okay, I mean, everybody's feeling it. COVID certainly didn't help. I mean, nothing like having that big, nasty disease out there that could pounce on you at any time, and you'd have no idea and can't see it coming. You know, I always used to tease people and say, well, it's easy to avoid COVID, just duck. Except that doesn't really work because you can't see it coming. And that's the problem, is that we just sit here and be anxious. And then the thing is you get COVID, and does it make you feel less anxious? No, because now you don't know how it's going to go. And we just worry. And that's just one little thing in our life. I mean, add parenthood and children and the financial world that we live in, political world that we live in, the moral world that we live in, and do we have enough stuff to worry about? And so Jesus has some rather interesting instructions for his disciples, because the one thing I can tell you is that nothing has changed. In the days that the disciples lived, they had plenty to worry about as well. You know about all the political things going on with the Romans who were occupying Israel at the time, and the zealots who were constantly causing trouble, just like today's terrorists. And they had almost a perfect mirror for everything that we're dealing with today, only, you know, in their day. And they had plenty to worry about. They had additional things to worry about because they'd, like, you know, left their families and their, you know, ways of making money. I mean, Matthew used to be rich. I mean, he used to be a tax collector, and he got a really good income from that. And the Peter, James, John, Andrew, those guys had the money from fishing, and I mean, everybody kind of had a life. And then this rabbi comes walking through and just says, "Hey, follow me." And they did. They just left everything behind and followed him. I think they had a few things to worry about. And so Jesus, after last week's sermon, you know, talking about, you know, not being so worried about everything, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. So just stop worrying." Helpful? Not yet. Right, okay, we'll get there. Then he says this, and please understand, look at what Jesus says. He doesn't just say stop worrying. What he says is stop worrying about this. Stop worrying about food and stop worrying about clothes. Now, are those like the most basic needs that we have? You know, I mean, shelter is probably up there too, but I mean, these are the most fundamental, most basic needs that we have. Without clothes and without food, life doesn't last very long. I mean, you've been outside without a coat in the winter. How long are you going to last at that, right? I mean, we need certain things to live, and Jesus is saying, these are the things I don't want you to worry about. And why? He says, well, look. He says, consider the ravens. Now, ravens, are these the nice animals? No, in the parables, these are the ones that, like, rob the seed off the ground and stuff. These are not the friendly, happy birds. They're not doves or quail or anything like that. These are just these, you know, flying rats, basically. And he says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storehouses or storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And then he goes on to talk about the clothes. He says, consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Don't set your heart on what you eat or drink, and don't be worried about it, for the pagans of the world run after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Here's where Jesus starts to really get helpful in his message. What if I could tell you that our survival is no longer in question? What if I were to tell you that nobody can end your life? What if I were to tell you that our God has already made a plan for you that includes living in a perfect place forever? Does that take a little bit of stress off of us when we worry about the things that are needed for life? I mean, because here's the thing, is that our God, he has made plans for you. He has considered your needs carefully, and he has seen what it is that you require, and he has fulfilled it all perfectly. It's not a small thing to say that when we come to faith that we begin our eternal life immediately. You understand this? That the life that you now live, you live in Christ. That this life that you now live will not end. That you live forever. It's kind of a mind-blowing thing to think about, it, isn't it? I mean, at first you kind of think, well, that's really kind of basic and silly and stupid. But if you think about what it actually means for your life, it really is extremely profound. Because here's the thing. Jesus is telling his disciples, stop worrying about the little stuff. Stop worrying about the concrete needs of your body. And instead invest yourself in your eternal life. He says basically this. He says, guys, wouldn't it be great if you could just give up all of your earthly possessions and cash it all in for currency in heaven, the currency that will never rot, destroy, the purse that will never wear out? I mean, if you just think about it, we think in terms of investments, right, in this world. We think in terms of where do we spend our time. Well, we'll always spend our time, we'll always spend our money on things that are going to pay off in a big way for ourselves. If we're wise with our money and wise with our time, we'll always invest it into something that will get bigger, something that is going to be more solid, something that is going to be... What more is there than investing ourselves, lock, stock, and barrel, everything, in eternity, in something that will truly last forever? And so we turn to God and we say, God, what is it you want us to do? How do you want us to live? I mean, once our eternity is secure, then the only question is, what do we do until we get there? We don't have to worry anymore. We know how the story ends. It ends with us in heaven. Knowing that, we are able to turn to God and say, because I received this forgiveness, because I've received this new life in you, because I know that my eternity is certain, how then shall I live this life? And we invest ourselves in understanding what God wants. We invest ourselves in putting that knowledge, that understanding that we gain from God from through his scriptures into practice in our lives. We invest all the resources that God has given us in this life to do his work. We focus ourselves on him and his desires, on his law, on his ways. And God says this, he says, we'll just read it. But seek after his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Right? Well, think about it. Does that actually make sense? I mean, because how do we actually like make money and survive and take care of ourselves, right? Well, we all have jobs, correct? Well, what does God tell us to do with our jobs? He says, do all things as if you're working for God. Well, how hard do you want to work for God? You know, I mean, so if you're working, now here, think about this. If you have a real jerk for a boss, right, and you consider yourself working for your boss and your boss doesn't treat you very well, how hard do you want to work for your boss? Right. So could that negatively impact your future employment? Sure. Now, how about this? You consider Because you know the truth. You've been set free from the things of the world. You now see the world as it is, that we no longer are part of this. I mean, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not stuck in this world's way of understanding things. And we understand that we work for God in everything that we do. And if our boss is a jerk, right, the guy that we actually, you know, work for, our supervisor, he's a jerk, who do you still work for? Does anything change? Do you stop working harder? No, because we do everything for the one who saved us. Every action in our life is an act of worship. And so we don't stop. We keep pressing on because we are already redeemed. Our future is secure. We're no longer working for the money that we gain. We work because God has given us an opportunity. And through this opportunity, God provides for us. Is that a radically different way of looking at the world? I mean, are you a slave to your job anymore? If your job was to go away, do you think the creator of the universe is capable of finding another way to provide for you? I mean, and let me, I'll tell you a little bit about the way God has provided for me in my life. There was a time when I was at seminary. I went to seminary with one child, graduated with two. That means that I was at seminary for 4 years. And I think every year, one of those years, I did my taxes and I made about $10,000 a year. Now do the math. A family of three, graduating to a family of four, living on $10,000 a year. You want to know something else? I graduated with no debt from 8 years of private college. That doesn't make sense. There's nothing about that that makes sense. I could sit down with a piece of paper and try to explain how God did all that, and I could explain some of it, but I can't explain all of it because God just made things work. He took, instead of just giving us money, he made it so that he took away bills. I mean, at one point, my son had a seizure when he was like 1.5 years old, and I called it the $10,000 ear infection because that's what the hospital bill rolled out to be, $10,000. A church paid for it, just took it away. Well, that's not normal. That doesn't just happen. I mean, one day I got a check in the mail for $830 from an LW Mellon in Oklahoma. I've never even been to Oklahoma. I have no idea who these people are and how they got my name, but they sent me a check, and my car broke down the next week. Guess what it cost? We have to stop being small-minded about how God provides. We have to stop being so controlling about how God provides, how we will accept his help, how things should work, how we see the world and how we think the world should work. We need to be instead focused on God and doing his things. That instead of focusing on stressing out about providing for our families, how about we instead focus our minds on how to be a godly, loving parent, one who is raising our children in the Lord, and focus our energy on something that's going to last forever rather than something that's not. That we would like follow God's law, study God's laws, and as in the words of King David, love God's law, meditate on it day and night, know what it is that God is asking us to do, and do it faithfully and lovingly because we already know the end of the story, and we don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Our job is really, really quite focused. Follow him. Do his work. It's freeing and revolutionary because now all of a sudden I'm not just doing this for me. I'm not the one that's responsible for how everything lands. I'm not the one that has to make sure that everything, because the thing is in the end, in the words of the text, can we add a single hour to your life? Can you truly make money? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't. It's just, we don't have the control we think we have. Those are things that are up to God. Our job, keep our eyes on him. Follow him. Live out the faith and the life that he gives us because we know the end of the story. Now, this is a radical different message than a lot of Christian churches. A lot of Christian churches will say, follow God to make him love you, to get his blessing and to get his favor, right? And that's the absolute opposite of what I'm telling you today. What I'm saying today is God came to you in love and grace. He brought you into a relationship with himself. As Brian just said, God's riches at Christ's expense. That all of this we have because of all what Jesus did for us. That through our baptisms we were brought into this relationship. Through the word and through the Lord's Supper we're nourished and enriched and strengthened for this relationship. But now it's time to live this relationship and not live in the world all the time. Not let our minds be led in worldly ways, but instead know he is in control. We honor him, we follow him, we do what he says. Now, does that require a little bit of study? Yeah, because you can take one verse out of context and end up doing something really crazy, right? You know, sell all you have and give it to the poor. This might be short-sighted, okay? Now, the thing is that should we be very sacrificial and give to the poor? Yeah, we absolutely should be. Should we be living our lives radically different than the world around us? Absolutely. Should we be putting ourselves in a financial position where we are no longer able to care for our families? Probably not, right? Because the resources God gave you, he also gave you responsibilities to use them for. Caring for your families is one of them, right? And so giving up everything you have and giving to the poor all at once, it's a bold move. Don't know if I'd go there right away. You know, I mean, pray on that one. But the thing is that God says, this is what we're called to do. Seniors, you guys are about to go out into the world. What I'm asking you to do is this: be salt and light. If you can have confidence when the rest of the world is going crazy, do you think somebody's going to look at you and go, huh? Wonder what's up with that. You know, when people come to you and treat you hatefully and angrily and you respond in grace and love, you think that'll make people go, huh, what's up with that? You know, when you, in the middle of the most intense, crazy time of the semester, and trust me, they're coming, all right? Been through a few semesters. When you can keep perspective, when you can work hard, but not be overly invested in how everything's going to work out all the time, do you think it's going to be something that will be noticed? And then, in 1 Peter, we are told to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. When somebody comes to you and says, why are you so different? What is your answer? Because I know the end of the story. I know that as crazy as this world is, there is a world to come. A world in which I will live in the presence of God. And until I get to that world, God has promised to never leave me alone. He's going to walk with me every step along the way. He will lead me and guide me. And I can put all my faith in him because he is faithful. The theme for today should have been something different. It shouldn't have been, don't worry, just be faithful, right? It should be, don't worry, because he is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have loved us, that you have given us not just salvation, Lord, but with that salvation, Lord, a complete a relationship with you and a purpose for our lives and a confidence in our future and a knowledge, Lord, that no matter what happens, we have you and you cannot be taken away. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep our minds on you, our eyes on you, focused on you and on your law, on your instructions for us, Lord, so that we can worship you with our lives in grateful response to all that you do for us. Help us, Lord, as we live. Live in us. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, we continue our worship today by receiving the offering. And this is an act of worship. It's giving up something that we could keep for ourselves, but giving it to God, knowing that He is the one who provides. Sometimes feeling like we're giving too much, like I'm not sure how what's left is going to be enough, but let me tell you, it always is. He provides. He does it amazingly. My dear friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. All right, it is the time we've been waiting for. Our seniors are these people who are like an elementary school, who we've known for years and years and years, are growing up, which means we're all getting older. That's what it means. And what it means is that we're about to send them off to the next part of their life. And some are going to college, and some are going to other ways of preparing for their future. And so I'm going to ask all of the graduating eighth graders, or the graduating high school students. Time goes fast. Come on down here, and we let's have a prayer together, okay? And while they're coming forward, I'm going to tell everybody else what to do. All right, folks. And in your bulletin, there is a paper that has these folks' pictures on it. That's not there by accident, and it's not something you're to throw away. That's something that you get to keep and put someplace where you're going to notice it, because these young people are heading out into the world. And is the world crazy? Do you think these kids need your prayer? Yeah, absolutely. And so it is our responsibility as their family, as the people who love them and are standing behind them and supporting them, to be holding them up in prayer and to not forget them. And so please do take that paper home with you. And the rest of you guys, you're about to move out. Is that exciting or scary? Here's the thing. It's kind of probably a little bit both, right? I mean, because it is nice to have freedom, and it's also nice to know where the next meal's coming from. You know, that's kind of cool, too. So the thing is going to be interesting as you go out into the world. There's going to be a whole bunch of unknowns. But who's going with you?
God.
Yeah. Is that a small thing? And let me tell you, you know, I mean, some people think, you know, I'm talking to you like children or something like that. Let me tell you what, one of the most important things for me is knowing that God is with me. Because as life goes on, things get more and more complex. You get more and more responsibility. There's more and more things that you're responsible for that you have no idea how it's all going to work out. And the only way that we can face that with any kind of confidence is not with any confidence in us, but confidence in Him. All right? And so as you guys go into the world, I want you to be salt and light, like I talked about earlier. I want you to be prepared with an answer, to be able to give an answer for the hope that you have. But more than anything, I want you to stay leaning on God. Don't let the world pull you away. Don't let other things become a priority over Him. Focus on Him, because He's the one that really can get you through. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these young people, Lord, and the past that they have, Lord, the education that they've already received, and the future that You have already charted out for them. I pray that You would continue to guide them, lead them, give them confidence and hope, the confidence of knowing that they belong to You and that You belong to them. Lord, I pray that You would continue to bless them always. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to remain faithful as we pray for them and hold them up. All this we pray in Your holy name. Amen. All right, my friends. As you guys go back to the pews, my Lauren has a gift for each of you. And the reason Lauren has to hand out the gifts is because she actually made them like specific and individual. So they're kind of... There's some unified, similar things in them, but then there's some customization going on there too. So God's blessings as you guys face the future and head toward your next thing. So you guys can go back to your seats. And the rest of us, we are going to be going into our prayer and care part of our worship service. And this is a really kind of amazing thing. A couple times ago, I don't know, time is hard for me to judge anymore, but months ago, we had a guest pastor here preaching the day that we did prayer and care. He sat right there and cried, watching as we prayed for each other. This is an incredible, amazing, awesome part of our worship where we really truly can love and support each other. And so those who are going to be praying praying up front, please come forward at this time. The rest of you, you are welcome to sing along with the songs that we're singing, and please be welcome to come forward if you would like. We do have somebody in the prayer chapel in the back in case you don't want to have to come to the front and stand in front of people, because I don't want that to be an obstacle either. But with that, and if you don't have anything else to do out there, just pray for the people that are coming forward. Pray for our church. Pray for the people that God has surrounded us with.
I'm so confused. I know I heard You. So I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of Your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt in these four to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God and I am not so.
Sing with me, how great.
Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God.
My friends, let's stand as we pray. As we pray today, we do want to keep Jeff Wunderlich in our prayers, as well as his wife, Laura, as they have, he just lost his mom. And so we want to be praying for the Wunderlich family during this time. Let's also be praying for our new school year. The teachers reported last week, and we are preparing wildly for the kids to arrive, and we will be ready when they come. It's going to be an amazing year. So let's be praying for the teachers and for the students as they're preparing to come as well. Also be praying for the call process as we're getting ready to call an additional pastor. No, I'm not leaving. I know there was some concern about that from how I said it, but no, I'm sticking around. But we're going to get some more help around here, which is absolutely fabulous. Please keep that in your prayers as well. And of course, let's keep praying for our seniors. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you that you have brought us into this place, this relationship, that we are able to enjoy your presence and hear your word, and that you even come and help us to understand what it means and help us to believe it and help us to put it into practice in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do all that and make us willing. Lord, I pray that you would be with Jeff as he has lost his mother. I pray that you would be with him and just help him, Lord, to have peace during this really difficult time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our ministry here at St. Mark's, Lord, with the new school year, with the pastor that we're working to bring into our ministry. I pray that you would bless all of those endeavors. And Lord, I pray that you would bless all the students that are heading back to school, Lord, our new college students, yes, Lord, but also all of the other students, regardless of what school they're going to, that you would be with them, that you would bless their families, that you would bless them as they learn, that you would help them, Lord, to understand this world that you have created and learn what it is that you made when you made them and how it is that you want them to serve you. All these things we bring before you today, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Together. is our God. The universe will sing, hallelujah, to you, our King. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing, hallelujah, to you, our
our land.
My friends, we've now received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with it the promised forgiveness of sins, strength, and salvation that God gives us in this gift. Knowing his promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, giving praise to this amazing God. Please be seated. A few announcements we have for you this morning. First of all, confirmation orientation is going to be held This week, August 10th, which is on Wednesday. So if you have any 7th or 8th graders in your orbit that need to be coming, please do make sure they register. But even if they don't register, please show up. We'll get them registered when we can. Let's see here. 1st through 3rd grade Bible presentation is going to be on September 11th. Where the kids are going to get a Bible on that day. Parents choose a verse for their child as we continue to work together here, raising these children in the faith. The Bible is at no cost, but we do ask that you would register for that. And you can do that on the website, and I'm sure there's information in the bulletin about that. And the Christian Cantata is coming up, and rehearsals start October 2nd. So if anybody would like to join and sing, please contact Laura Falls, which is... Where is she? There she is, right over there. Very good. Wearing a gray shirt today. And Guatemala. We are going to be going to Guatemala in October. So if you're interested in looking into that, please do talk to Sherry Haas. Again, there should be information in the bulletin. If not, you can talk to me about it. But it is an amazing opportunity to go and just take care of other people for a change. You know, nothing about us. We don't gain anything from it. Other than we actually learn an awful lot about how God operates in this world. So it's a pretty cool thing. All right, with that, folks, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back.